I feel like he showed me that the foundation had been sown in grace. There's apostolic grace in the foundation. And now he's going to build an apostolic hope. An apostolic hope.
You're an apostolic household. I don't know whether anybody said that. I'm sure people have said it over you, even prophetically. But you are an apostolic household as a church.
Well, we are really excited to be having Pastors Erica and Daniel with us. It's wonderful to have the Kagwas. They have become dear friends. And we just thought it'd be fun for you to get to know them a little bit. This is the couple that we've been talking about, that we've been to their church a number of times. And this is the couple that are they've just bought the land in Uganda that you've heard about and contributed to. So thank you for that. We're going to hear some awesome testimonies. But I thought it would be nice for you to hear a little bit about them as a family. So I've asked my sister Erica here just to share a little bit about your children. You've got an amazing family. So tell us a little about all your children.
Thank you so much, Mom Michelle. I'd like to take this opportunity to say, how are you?
Yeah.
Praise Jesus.
Amen.
I'm married with Pastor Kagwa Daniel. He's here. We have been married for 21 years, and we praise God for because he has been for us all the time. We do have children. Our biological children are 4, 1 boy and 3 girls. Our firstborn is 20 years old, second born 19, 13 and 12. Apart from our biological children, we do have also fostered children. As you know, Africa, it's more of extended families. It's rare to see a family having only your own children in Africa. So we do have 3 of them. Some of them are like mature enough, 24 years. Others like 16 and 14. So we praise God for our family. Apart from our own family, we also have church family. So we are really family people. We are family people. So we praise God for this opportunity God have given us to share part of our family.
Praise God.
Praise you.
Pastor Daniel and Mama Erica, because Mama is a term of respect, and so in Africa. But about 4 years ago, the Lord connected us with them. We ministered in Thailand, where we met first time, and then out of the Thailand meeting, a group of African leaders had asked us if we would come and minister in Africa, and we went to that, and that's where I met Pastor Daniel. In a meaningful way, and I was teaching on how to hear God's voice, and then everybody heard God's voice, and when the first thing the Lord told Pastor Daniel was, you need to have Greg come and minister in your country, and he was like, no, that can't be God. That's everybody's going to think I'm just, and so he came to me, and when he said that, I felt like the Lord said you should go, and so we had this connection, and we've been ministering for the last 2 years in large conferences that Pastor Daniel and Erica host, and really has become for us a man of peace in the region. He's as a couple, they're highly respected. They call together 400 or 500 pastors at a time. The last time we went, many of those people who came were just senior bishops, so each of them had at least 100 churches. So they have the respect of the community locally, but also in the nation, but then also about 9 countries around Uganda. Pastor Daniel and Erica are respected, and when they call a meeting, when we've gone, many people come from surrounding nations to attend the conferences. So it's just been an honor to meet them. It feels like they're, you know, Jesus said, when you go, find a person of peace. And they have become for us people of peace. And we've been astounded at, because of the connection that the Lord's put together, what the Lord's been doing here at Northlands has been able to go into significant numbers of churches in Uganda and Zambia and Burundi and Kenya and Congo and all sorts, all over Central and Eastern Africa. But it's primarily due to, I think, Pastor Daniel and Pastor Erica and their just service to the body of Christ and their 30 years of just walking with the Lord in an exemplary way. So it's an honor to know them. And I wanted to ask you, Pastor Daniel, about the conferences. Can you tell us some testimonies about what's going on there?
Thank you, Pastor Greg. Thank you, Church, for welcoming us here. It's such a wonderful time to be under this family and to be in the house of Pastor Greg together with Mama Michelle. And we really feel at home because we've been so much welcomed. Just missing a few things here, like seeing chicken along the streets of, and then cows and goats, which we see in Uganda. We can't find them over here. And we are like, how, this country must be very different from ours. And, you know, missing some of the Islams in the morning screaming, Allahu Akbar, at 5 a.m. And then here, you can't even hear anything in the morning apart from birds singing and glorifying the name of the Lord. So we just want to thank God for this time like this that the Lord has given us to be able to connect well with our pastors here. The Lord gave me a word this morning, which is in Acts chapter number 16, verse number 9, that during the night, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia. The man argued, Paul, come to Macedonia and help us. So this other version said, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and a man of Macedonia was standing there, arguing him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. This is the time when we cried before the Lord. I can tell you that it took us over 17 years from the year 2000 when I went to the prayer mountain one time to pray, the 1st of January 2000 to the 9th of February 2000. I went to the prayer mountain to pray for 40 days, praying and fasting, and asking God that, Lord, is there any man, is there anyone you can send to us to help us? And the answer was, and the word of the Lord was fulfilled through this ministry 2 years ago when we met with Pastor Greg. We never knew what the Lord was going to be doing. We are just surprised of what the Lord is doing now. But what you are seeing here, we prayed and we've always been praying for the last 19 years. We have been praying for 40 days of praying and fasting, asking God that, Lord, we would want people who can be able to come in Africa and help us. So we want to thank God that Pastor Greg and Mama Michelle and the entire team and the leadership have been able to be answer to the cry that we had. That's why the Spirit of the Lord gave me this word. The conference in Uganda, the conferences have been very successful. The other year, we had over 486 pastors. These were only six pastors. Now, that means that they were from 486 churches. And all these people came to hear about the grace of God. It wasn't something very easy because I had already tested. I had already had Pastor Greg speaking in Thailand and also in South Africa. And then I had to go back home to be able to let the people know that we've been blessed to be able to hear the man of God with a true message of God. But within those days, Uganda or Africa was going through a challenge whereby people were teaching about hyper grace or the grace, but people never understood the concept. Because our understanding and our teaching has always been from the Old Testament, whereby you just have to do works to be able to be received in heaven, and you break one, then there's no heaven for you. And even if you confess Jesus and you sin now, then you don't have any heaven. You are just going to hell. So whatever we were teaching was hell is waiting for you tomorrow. When you sin today, tomorrow there is hell for you. And that's what the pastors were teaching. So having known about the grace, then we said it's an opportunity for us to be able to receive the man of God so that he can come and help us, as the Bible says, and help the country, not only Uganda, but the whole continent. So we had to organize, Eric and I had to organize to bring pastors together. We had to prepare for a breakfast. We had to pay for each and everything. We had to talk to them and tell them that we have a servant of God who is willing to come, but let's receive him. Everybody was like, if he's going to be talking about the grace, we don't need him here. So they had to say no. They had to tell me that they were going to get some documents out and disprove to me that the one I was bringing in the country was not liked in the country. But Eric and I had to stand. We just had to stand for the truth. And we said we shall stand. And they convinced us that the church will be broken, the church will be divided, we shall lose all the people. But at the end of the day, we said we are ready to lose each and everyone as long as we stand for the truth. So we had to stand for the truth. And we had to convince ourselves that this is the true word of God. Many may be able to say that it's wrong, but one can be able to say that it's right. And then we had to stand for the right. So we invited another meeting to be able to, for the pastors to come. They never received it so well. But, you know, we had to put some others into the program. We went to the whole country organizing and bringing pastors together. And we told them, come and hear the good news. So most of the pastors came in this conference just to hear what Pastor Greg and Pastor Tomoy are going to talk. They did not come to learn, but they came to see so that they may judge. But we thank God that at the end of the 3 days conference, those who had come to judge were convinced and convicted by the Spirit of God to know that the word that was taught was the true word of God. It wasn't only that, but even last year. So we told them that the word of God is coming forth. Now everybody was like, yeah, we need to be there. We shall be there. That man can teach. Pastor Tom can teach. And then we ended up seeing all these great pastors and great bishops coming to attend. Remember, at first they said, we don't want. Now after they heard the message, now they were able to embrace the message. And the message is spread in the country. Not only Uganda, but even all the countries around us have been able to receive this message positively. And we've been hearing some testimonies. We have been going to those communities and visiting those pastors to encourage them and even to break down this message. Because after they teach, we contextualize the message and bring it down to the level where they are able to understand it well. Because some of us have been given the grace by the Lord to speak different languages, maybe 10, 11, or 12. So we are able to go down and break down all this message so that people can be able to understand it well. And the message has worked well. Pastors are now inviting Pastor Greg to come more and more and more. They are thinking, like, no, it's only one time. We need them more and more and more. So that is how far the Lord has taken the message of the grace in Africa. We thank God for that.
Praise God.
That's awesome. Thank you. I wanted to ask Erica. Erica is Pastor Erica, Mama Erica to the congregation of Sign of the Dove, and you're an amazing leader and an amazing shepherd. But the Lord has also taken you guys beyond that in an apostolic call, and you've been sharing with us about the ministry. She has an amazing ministry to women in leadership that she named Destiny Ladies because she recognized that in every woman there is a destiny. And you've really opened up some amazing things for the woman. But share with us a little bit about this particular woman's ministry, that just what you saw the need was and how you started that.
Thank you so much, Ma Michelle. Again, by the grace of God, I've been able to start women group in our church. It started as a small group with the mission of prayer and encouraging ourselves. At the beginning, I didn't have a name for the group. I just had the Holy Spirit telling me to gather the women in the church and pray for each other as we encourage ourselves. We continue praying. After time, the Holy Spirit also told me to, like, there is a destiny in and each and every woman's life. So that's why I got that name, that we are called Destiny Ladies Ministry. The Lord also continued to minister to me according to what I have passed through as teenager girl, as a child. And the time the Spirit was ministering, it was like the Spirit was telling me that there is a destiny in your life. There is a divine destiny in your life. So that's why I got the name. It's in the book of Ruth, chapter 1, where you see that there is a destiny for Ruth. He came from, like, different background, but she ended up, like, getting in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So there is a destiny in everyone's life. That's where we got that name. This last year, we got a chance to host Mama Michelle in our ministry. It was a gathering of 300 ladies. Most of them were pastors' wives and women leaders in different churches. So she ministered to us, and we are thinking maybe we can take her in Uganda, and then we live together with her. Because we're enjoying her so much, maybe more than you, I don't know.
Yeah. Nobody wants me to stay. Yeah. You can come and visit, but she can stay. Yeah.
So it was really amazing to us. She was a blessing to women in Uganda, mostly the pastors' wives. As a mother and as she's a leader and pastor's wife, her experience was so touching to us. Above all, the word she gave to the ladies, even the prophecy. She's, like, for us we call her Prophet Mama Michelle. Because her prophecy really touched many women. She prayed for 300 women, like touching them on their head. For me, it was impartation. In Uganda, we do have this challenge whereby women are down. We don't have voice in the country. So to see Mama Michelle coming with the voice of raising the women in the Lord, it was powerful. We glorify God for her ministry, and we still need her more and more. May God bless you.
I'll come back and visit you. It was a very, very, very special time for me too. Thank you.
I think many of you contributed last September to the memory sticks. We took 37 videos from our discipleship series that we developed here in the church, and we made them available. And many of you many families purchased a few of those memory sticks, and we said that they would go to at least 10 churches. And I was speaking to a pastor in Zambia, and he said that he went to visit his bishop, who oversees 780 churches, and he said his bishop was watching one of the videos when he walked in, and he stopped it, and he said, "This is going into all our churches." So I know that just one of those memory sticks was pushed into 700 churches. So I think God has been doing some things, and I just wanted to take a moment. But I wanted to ask you, Pastor Daniel, can you give us some testimonies about what is the Lord doing with the memory sticks?
Thank you, Pastor Greg. Yeah, we just want to thank God for each and everyone who was able to contribute towards that. Memory sticks helped us so much. First, it worked in my life. I was able to go and watch this through the night. I never knew that I was going to watch it for over 8 hours or 9 hours. When I put it into my TV, I thought that it was just going to be something that was going to take maybe a sermon and then go to bed. But I ended up watching until 8 in the morning. And eventually I became addicted to this. I really felt like I don't want to do any other thing by the beginning of the day before watching this, some of the sermons that were on the memory stick. We want to thank God that I was transformed. And through this transformation, I was able to go back to our church. And then we introduced some of these teachings. And it's what we are doing in our Bible studies now, throughout of all these sermons. And we allow the church to sit down and do discussion about what Pastor Greg was teaching. And not only in our church, but also there is a pastor's fraternity away from our region. And these pastors meet every Friday and Saturday. And they do their morning devotion, watching and meditating and also discussing about the topics, the 37 lessons on the memory sticks. And it is real working and transforming nations around Uganda and all the nations around Africa. It isn't only that, but also there is a pastor in Uganda who did not even know how to, you know, read English or even he doesn't know English, but he had a memory stick, and he had to go back to his church very far away. The pastor himself has no water, has no good house, has no power, but one of his members has power and water, and he has a TV. So he went to his member and asked him to be able to watch, and then he asked him to translate what Pastor Greg was teaching. And the member of the church was able to translate everything for him. And I tell you, the pastor was so much touched. And it wasn't only to the pastor, but also the members of the house came together to be able to be part of the teaching. Not only that, but now it went beyond the house and then went to the community members who were not even Christians started coming to watch this. Not only that, but also other members from other churches started coming to be able to have this home fellowship. Now it came, they opened up a Bible study in the house of this brother where they are now able to watch these teachings on the memory stick. So the whole community is receiving much from what you contributed, from what you gave in. And now the church that had one service, midweek service, they now have two, because they do one midweek service, which is a little smaller, and then they do another bigger one, which brings everyone in the community to be able to come and see and watch and hear what the Lord is speaking. And it's not only that, but also in Tanzania, the pastors in Tanzania have also been able to benefit much out of these teachings because they took the memory cards. When we opened up this conference, 10 pastors came from Tanzania. 8 of them did not take the message at the beginning. They came against what was being taught. It wasn't until they received the memory sticks, they went back home. Now they were able to listen and to see. After all that, then the pastor started calling us, telling us that, Pastor, you need to come here because the memory stick and all these teachings have been able to catch the fire. The church has been ignited. We need you to come and break down some of these things for us because we are on fire. The Lord is doing something great. And then we came to realize that Tanzania is on fire for that. So we want to thank God and we want to glorify the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
I think we've had this such a wonderful week with our friends, but just sitting around dinner tables and hearing what God is doing. And we were just so excited to share it with you because, you know, you might just think, well, it was one memory stick, but one memory stick is transforming a nation.
Yeah.
And so we just wanted to say thank you to you, but we wanted to kind of invite you around the dinner table to just hear these amazing stories. And, you know, what a privilege that here in Norcross, we get to play a part in bringing this amazing message of God's grace to nation and to other nations. So thank you for your contribution. Keep praying for what the Lord is doing. But it's just so exciting. We thought we just have to share it with you guys. So thank you.
Yesterday I was slamming. Yesterday, Pastor Daniel was on the phone with one of the pastors who's about 4 hours away from Kampala and where they live. And he said, talk to him. So I talked to the guy, and he just wanted to say thank you. And his story was he was a military commander, and then he got saved and he started a church. But he was very clear that God is the absolute authority, and what he says goes, and this whole church is going to be run with military precision, and we are going to do by the book and by the law. And so he's running the church by the law, and then he came to the meetings, and he heard about the gospel of God's grace, and that it's not by works, it's by faith, and it's revolutionized his life. And he just couldn't, when he found out that Pastor Daniel was here with us in our home, he was like, no, I've got to speak to him, and just wanted to say thank you, and just wanted to convey his thanks to you, because his whole life has been transformed, his church has been transformed. And my other favorite story was the first year we went, there was one of the pastors there, he called himself the hammer of God. He used to say when he sees sin in somebody's life, it's his job to hammer them from the pulpit. Like, you shine up, you ugly thing, you know. He hammered out sin, you know. And then, because we preached about that it's our job to preach good news, not bad news. And he realized he hadn't been preaching good news. And so he changed his message and he started preaching the gospel. And his testimony is that many, many people who had left his church dwindling away because nobody wanted to be beaten up that much. And many people who'd left his church, many people who'd backslidden and just said, look, I can't handle it if that's the standard, have now come back, and there's revival going on. And so it's just been a sweet, sweet season. And thank you so much for your participation in changing some nations. And I wonder if we just close. We just want to pray for Pastor Erica and Daniel, Pastor Daniel and Erica. So why don't you stretch out your hands and let's bless them together. Father, we wanted to just say thank you for our friends and for the impact that they're having in their nation. We pray your favor, your smile, your protection upon them. We're asking, Lord, that you would pour out your grace and your peace upon them, that you'd open up provision for them, Lord, that you'd make a way for them where there hasn't been one, that you'd open new doors. Mostly, Father, I pray that you would give them authority and stature in their nation, even greater than they have already. Lord, I believe it's time for the people who have walked in humility and obscurity and wisdom, it's time for them to be elevated, Lord. It's time for the church to see what godly leadership is supposed to be like. So I pray for them, Lord, that you would elevate them in their nation, that you'd give them, Lord, stature and support and favor with God and men, and that, Father, you would give them massive influence, Lord, even far greater than they have right now, not only in Uganda, Lord, in East Africa, but all over Central Africa. And Father, we bless them in Jesus' name. Thank you for them. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Thank you so much. We've been preaching through a Go series, we really have tried to capture the heart of an apostolic church, what it means to be people who are on a mission, who have been sent, who have been commissioned with a focus, with a target, that sense of aligning our church once more with the mission and the calling of God brings a tremendous health and alignment to the church. If we step off the mission, if we forget the mission, and we think the church is about us, it changes the whole perspective. We become people who are really just shoppers for the best experience and the most comfortable experience. I like this church because the services are shorter and they play the songs I like, and it becomes a consumer-driven issue instead of something that's on mission. And we've been talking about how to become an apostolic culture. We yearn to see people developed and equipped and sent into their most effective places of ministry. And I believe that there's a new style of apostolic and prophetic ministry that's emerging, not the type that's focused on the title, but on the mission, on the place of service that God is calling these people to.
And this series has been trying to understand the scriptural mandate to be an apostolic community on apostolic mission. And we understand that many people don't have this language set because their church history and their church tradition has not included this concept of an apostolic thing. Many people have a concept of what we call missions, which is just the Latin word, missio, is the Latin word for the same Greek word, apostello. It's the same concept. But the scripture uses the concept of apostolic and apostle, the sent ones, those who have been equipped and authorized to be on a mission. That's what the word apostello means, to send. Somebody who has been sent and laden up and equipped and sent, a commissioned. In the Greek mindset, this was the general who was sent to go and colonize a region and to make a city in the culture, in the Greek culture. Make sure that it adheres to Greek standards. It has the Greek culture. It has Greek language. It has Greek baths. It has, you know, it has a Greek culture. And the general who was sent to enforce that was called an apostle. So I think in the Bible days, they use this concept, or the scripture leans in and uses a concept and says that is an apostle, someone who is mandated by God to go and create heaven's culture on the earth and has been given and equipped with authority to see that that happens. So we have this mandate to go, to be on mission. And as Keith Green said, that is a call to everybody. If you are not going, you have to have a specific word from God that says stay. But if you don't have a specific word to stay, you should be going. We should be going. And we are a church that is on mission. And when you understand this, it changes the perspective from a cruise ship to a battleship. We're a little tighter, we're a little focused, a little more controlled, because we're going somewhere. There is something God has called us to do. Bonner, a group, did a study in the early 2000s, and they asked America, well, why do you think the church exists? Over 80% said the church exists to meet my need. And you go, wow, that's not actually why the church exists. The church exists to create the kingdom of God on earth, to colonize this planet. The church has a mission, and it's to go out into all the world and make disciples of all people. That's a fairly large mission. It is not just to go and win the lost so that they come to know Jesus. But that's what the evangelists will focus on. It's not just that once those people are saved, let's gather them together and look after them and make sure they're whole and happy, because that's what the pastors will tell you. It's not just to teach them and to educate them about how things work and what the Bible says, because that's what the teachers will tell you. It's not just about getting revelation and hearing the voice of God and understanding what God wants us to do now, because that's what the prophets will tell you. It's not just about creating an apostolic foundation and building a structure and enabling a platform so that people can be launched into the calling, because that's what the apostles will tell you. It's all five working together. Because it was he who gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, and together they equipped the saints for the work of the ministry, which is to go and disciple the whole world. Amen. So just in a little bit of a review, I just wanted to say that the commission is to the whole world. The call is not just to our neighbors. The call is not just to win a few. The commission is to disciple the world. So I just wanted to make sure. Let me just read to you Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Some people read that as though that was progressive. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, then in Samaria, then in Judea, then in the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, how can I go to the uttermost parts of the earth if I haven't even won my neighbors? Well, I can't go to my state because I haven't won my neighbors. I can't go to my nation because I haven't won my state. I can't go to other nations. We haven't yet won our nation. Jesus didn't say in Jerusalem, then Judea, then. He said, and. Some people think it's a small semantic problem. I think it's a massive philosophical idea. He said, go everywhere. Go local and go large. Neighbors and nations. Let's do it all. Matthew 24. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world. Where? In Northern America? No, in the whole world. There's a gospel that needs to go out across the whole world. Mark 16, he said to them, go into all the world. Matthew 28, go make disciples of all nations. It's a very hard truth to miss if you just open up your heart, that it's not to our culture only and to the people that like us and the places that we're familiar with or the places that make us comfortable. He said, go everywhere. In fact, he said, go to the ends of the earth, go to all the world, go to all nations, go to the whole earth. Those are the phrases that Jesus used in the scriptures. That's go everywhere and do it simultaneously. Not just here, but here and there and everywhere. So how do we become a church that responds? How do we build it into our culture that we are a people who are going? Because some of us still need to go to work on Monday morning. Some of us have built roots in this community. How can I have roots in this community and be somebody who is going all the time? Participating in this great commission. The practical reality is, how can we be going and how do I go beyond these walls? So let me throw out four things that I think may help us in this understanding. Number one, going beyond these walls means that we choose as a culture to honor those who are going within our walls. This means that if there's somebody here who is going, that we begin to celebrate them. And if there is somebody who is on mission, who is going and who visits with us, we herald them as one of the heroes of our place. That we don't just put them as second-rate citizens. Rather, we bring them up on stage. Rather, we celebrate those who will go. It becomes something of a celebration when somebody is responding to the call of God in their life. Those are the heroes of the house. And so one of the questions that happens is when we have, sometimes we have conferences and we have people coming in from outside and we ask, hey, could you host somebody? And people generally are just really wide open. But every now and again, I hear somebody go, why do I have to host somebody? I go, because you have an opportunity to have somebody sitting around your table who is radioactive with the call of God. They've said yes. It's ignited in their spirit. It's all over them. I want those people. I want my children exposed to them. I want the call of God to seep out onto our family. I want people to taste it. Why would you not want that around your table? Well, it might upset my children. No, it might turn your children on to the things of God. Honestly. It might just launch your kids into the call of God on their life. It might just give your kids some hero that doesn't have to wear spandex and be on some DC Comics thing. It might just be somebody who's real, who has the fire of God in their belly. Why don't you give them, why don't you let those people be in front of your kids? We are going to be a house. Because this is part of our going. Why? Because I want to turn up the value in Northlands. I want to turn it up high. I want to turn it up to max and break the knob that stays there. People who are going. People who are on mission. These are the heroes of the house. The Bartolos have been ministering in places, going to jails, ministering to the ladies who've been helped out of trafficking. I honor that. Thank you. Thank you for what you do. That's an honorable thing in our house. We have people here, and they run for the community. We run in the summer a day camp for the kids. I honor the people who are doing that. Thank you for being on the go. I like that. That's going to be honored in this house because it's honorable. It needs to be celebrated. 2 Corinthians, Paul said, I wanted to visit you when I came to Macedonia and then to come back from Macedonia, then have you send me on my way to Judea. Paul knew that the Corinthians were a church that he could bounce, he could land with them and stay with them. They would build into his spirit. They'd support him. They'd encourage him. And then they'd send him on as he went. He was launched from Corinth to a bunch of places. And Paul writes to them and he plans this. I want to be that kind of church. People go, man, if you go to Northlands and you're on the call of God, they celebrate you. How about this one in 3 John? I like this. John had sent some people to this church, and the church had so embraced them because they were on mission. They were doing what the Lord told them to do. And John writes to the church, and he says, listen, man, just please look after these people. And he said, but while he was writing, he heard a report from these people, and they said, man, these people have just loved us well. So this is what he writes. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you've been doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God, for it was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. He says they walked out in the call of God. They stepped out because God called them. And he said, you guys have loved them. And he says, now send them on their way in a way that honors God. I like that. It's going to be our culture here. Philippians 2. So welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help that you yourselves could not give me. There is a value in the scripture, and there's a value in Paul's apostolic understanding of people who said yes to the Lord, who stepped out into the call of God, who are on mission. And every time you find Paul meeting somebody like that, he holds them up in high esteem, and he says, we're going to honor these people. And here, those people are going to get high honor at Northlands. So how do we participate in going? Monday morning, I'm back to work. How can I participate, Greg? Well, you can join us in this attitude that if somebody steps up and says, I will go on the commission, we're going to celebrate them, and we're going to bless them, and we're going to pray for them, and we're going to provision them, and we're going to honor them because they are people worthy of honor. Secondly, if we're going to go beyond these walls, we need to pray beyond these walls. I love the prayers for your provision and my provision and our healing and our wisdom for what I'm facing, and can you help me with my kids, and can you help me with my circumstances, and Lord, I need another car. I'm all for all those prayers, as long as those prayers are not the end of our prayers, because our prayers need to go beyond these walls. It's time to start praying for the nation of Uganda, for the 500 churches that we have an impact in, for the 2,000 other churches that Pastor Daniel has connection to the seven nations around there that have sent representations. It's time to start praying that the gospel take root and just blow up throughout Central Africa. That's a prayer meeting worth having. It's time for us to start praying for nations to change. Let's pray, God, take root in some nations. In Denmark, where the Lord's opened up a door, in India and Taiwan and many different church places where people are inviting us in. Canada has asked us to come in, where there's an impact and God can change some things. We can go beyond these walls in prayer. And it's an important part of it. You can be at your work on Monday and you can be going with us in prayer as we break through in Uganda and Kenya and Burundi and Zambia and Congo. Praise God. So let me just show you a couple of things. We don't have time. You can find the notes on the next to the sermon on the internet. But I just want to read you a few things. This is what Paul said, because Paul was going in Paul's apostolic travel. He writes back to the church and he says, "Listen, guys, pray for me. Pray for me." I love this one in 2 Corinthians, because he talks about the help of their prayers in his going. He said, he has delivered us, talking about the Lord, from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayer. In Philippians 1, he says, I know that through your prayers that what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Paul said, your prayers are helping deliver me. We are in the process of going together. I happen to be in the circumstances, but it's your prayers that are delivering me. Something about the way you're praying has opened a door for me. Something about what you're doing in prayer is giving me courage. Something about what you're doing in prayer is bringing a clarity to my mind. We have to work together. It's not one superhero doing everything. It's us going together, though some people are going to be on the front lines and some are not. How do we go beyond these walls? We pray beyond these walls. Romans 15, he says, I pray that I be kept safe and that I have a favorable reception. You know, Jesus went to his own hometown, and his own hometown didn't even give him a favorable reception. In Ephesians 6, he says, pray that words be given me and that I may proclaim it fearlessly as I should. I want to just tell you, because sometimes if you're not preaching, if you're not aware of this, but if you get up and preach the gospel of God's grace, you preach this gospel of grace, and you have 500 pastors in a meeting, and they're all looking at you because they all believe in legalism, and they think you're a heretic, and you preach the gospel, you come under some intimidation to try and just back down a little so that they're a little less angry with you. But Paul said, I didn't back down against them for a second so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. See, there's a little fearlessness. There has to come a little aggression. And Paul writes to the church and he says, pray for me that whenever I speak, words would be given me. And pray that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of this gospel for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. We go, well, Paul just declared it fearlessly. He said, listen, guys, I need your prayers. We can be going together. Pray for an open door. And for a clear proclamation. God, when we go, would you open a door supernaturally? Would you break open something? Well, it's just my gift. My gifted eloquence will open the door for me. No, no. I've tried that. Doesn't work. Pray that the word would be honored and it would spread rapidly. I've learned something. That's 2 Thessalonians 3. As for other matters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it would. Pray that we be delivered from evil people. You know, I've noticed something. We go into a nation. We've done this now 4 or 5 times. 6 times. You go into a nation. There's a gathering of leaders. Maybe 400 or 500 pastors. And they come together. And you go, God, could you give us impact? And so what happens is you proclaim the gospel, and if 5 pastors out of 500 accept it, then you know they're going to be under persecution, because the other 95% are going to go, you guys have been deceived. That thing gets squashed. But if 400 of the 500 go, man, this is God, the other 100 are drowned out. Pray that the gospel take root and spread quickly, because you can own a nation like that. That's what the Lord's been doing. We're going and it goes, and the people are going, well, I don't think so. Suddenly they're in the minority. They're going, oh, yeah, I'm just going to keep quiet. Maybe, do you have those notes? Let's see. Pray for restoration. Paul said, prepare a guest room for me. He's saying, listen, guys, do an act of faith. Prepare a guest room for me and pray that I be restored to you. Hebrews, pray for us that we may be restored to you. Your prayer travels faster and goes further than we can. It can impact where we cannot. It penetrates into places where our visas are not accepted. It deals with spiritual realities that will not bend to natural forces. Prayer is a vital and absolutely necessary piece of our going, and you can be going with us in prayer right now. How can we become a church that's going? We pray beyond these walls. Thirdly, we give beyond these walls. If all our resources goes to paying all our bills, praise God, we're paying our bills. But that's a sad tale. Because we were never designed by God to consume all our resources. We were designed to be a resource church. That's the call of God. We're supposed to be a resource church. We're supposed to be giving. And I want to trust God that He give us more seed to sow. I want to up the amount that we sow from our church. I want to pick it up. I want to sow some more. I want to impact more nations. I want people's lives transformed. I want transformation in the thousands and in the hundreds of thousands and in the millions. And that's going to take something coming out of this church. How can we be going beyond these walls? We have to give beyond these walls. Philippians 4, Paul said to the church, I have received a full payment. I have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God is going to meet all your needs according to His riches and glory. Paul said, you guys gave me because I was on mission and I was in need and you guys gave to me. And he said, God found that as a pleasing, acceptable, pleasing aroma to God. And you know what's going to happen? God's going to meet your needs. Because you gave first. 2 Corinthians 8, He says, I testify that they gave as much as they were able, even beyond their ability, entirely on their own, and they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. The Corinthians said, Paul, whoa, come back. We heard that you were taking up offering and you missed the offering. What's with that? They urgently pleaded with me for the privilege of sharing in this thing. What's your problem, Paul? Are we not good? Is our money not good enough for you? What's the problem? They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege to give beyond themselves, to support something that was apostolic, to be on the mission, to be about the king's business. What's wrong with our money? We want our money to be put to work in the kingdom. I want an eternal reward from what I can give. Acts 13 and Acts 15, it says the church sent them on their way. And the implication is they put a little money in their pocket. They paid for their boarding on the ship. They gave them a little travel money and they prayed to him, laid hands on them and said, bless you. It wasn't just slap on the back and a Diet Coke. See you later. No, there was a little energy behind it in the form of money. Your giving will travel faster and go further than you can. It sends a message more effective than your words. Michelle and I preached in, 18, 19 nations. Over 70% of the time, we're paying them. They're not paying us. They can't afford it. And you know, you go and then somebody gives you, just says, thanks for coming. You go, It was my honor, because I was about the king's business. But every now and again, they take up an offering. First time I went to Uganda, when I was teaching, people began to walk up to me and just while I was preaching and just put money in my hand. I was a little like, what do I do with this? So I just put it in my pocket. And after a while, I had a whole bunch of Uganda shillings. And you know what was so sweet about it? It was people who probably could not afford to give, who just were saying, I want to say thank you to you, but I'm not just going to do it with words. I guarantee you, many of those people, that was their food for today. They didn't eat that day. Because they wanted to say, thank you for coming. Your giving speaks more eloquently than your words in certain circumstances. It encourages more powerfully. I've run out of time. The fourth way we can go beyond our walls is to go. Acts 18, Acts 20, everywhere in the scriptures. There's just these scriptures where people who traveled with, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila, and Sopater, Aristarchus, Secundus, Gaius, Timothy, Titus, Timephus. People went with Paul. And there's something about people who come with when we're on mission, when you're going to the jail, when you're ministering on the streets, when you're going on into one of the missional communities. People are out there and they're on mission, and the people who join them, something gets electrified, something comes alive. Especially if you've been a Christian for longer than 20 years, I just want to tell you, if you want to galvanize your spiritual life, well, I'm just going to all these churches and I'm not getting anything out of them. Yeah, you're not supposed to. You're supposed to be on mission. Not consuming, giving. You want to find spiritual energy in life? You want to get the glint back in your eye? Get out on mission. Something will change in you. Coming with supports in a way that's powerful. The cord of many strands is not easily broken. Paul said, but God who wanted to spare me sorrow upon sorrow comforted me with the coming of Titus. Somebody joined me. He says, I went and I found that the Lord had opened a great door of opportunity for me, but I did not find my brother Titus there, so I left. God opened a door of opportunity, but there was no one with me, so I walked away.
That's a fascinating scripture.
So we're going to honor those who are on mission, who are going. We're going to pray for those who go. We're going to give to those who go, and we're going to go with those who go. Amen? Now, in the first service, I surprised Pastor Daniel and Erica with this, but I just woke this morning with a passion in my heart. We've been to their house in Uganda. Their house is in the floodplain. The way it's designed, when they built their house, they were the first house in the plain. Everybody else has built up. Not too much town planning has gone on the road, and the way everybody angles, everybody's water runoff runs now down into their yard. So when there's a heavy rain, their house is about a foot in water, and there's nothing much they can do about it. And they've bought another piece of land. But I felt the Lord stirring something in me, and I spoke to Michelle. And what stood in us is I would like to make a contribution towards helping them build a new house. Now, there's no pressure here. There's no stress. I know that as a church, we've been exceptionally generous. Last September, January again, I feel like I keep ringing this bell for Uganda in our church, you know. Hey, give some more money. So there's no pressure on anybody. But I just wanted to say, if you'd like to join Michelle and I, because I would, this is not for their church. This is for them, because I've been with them in their house. Their house is like the tool for the task. The amount of people that get ministered to out of their house is amazing. And so I'd like to make a contribution towards trying to help them build a new house on high ground. So if you can and you'd like to make a contribution, you can do so today or anytime this week. If you go to Northlands Church where you usually give, and you can find the Kagwa, that's their surname. Go to the Kagwa tab and just say, I'd like to give towards Daniel and Erica. So I'm just full disclosure, that's not going to their church, that's going to them personally so they can build themselves a house. But it's going to bless the church because the church lives in their house anyway. So that's the beauty of having people whose hearts are sold out to the Lord. Whatever you give them goes back into the kingdom. So that's what we're going to be doing. And there's no pressure, but we'd love for you to join us with that. I'm going to ask Nathan if you'd come up. Thank you.